his people. And this carries the sense of a sort of brightness within, this inner working, whereas the thing set apart was an outward declaration. This thing's called to be holy was an inner working of God within people's hearts. And so we have that more common sense, I suppose, of becoming pure, becoming perfect in that sense of holiness. And of course, God fits into both these categories. God is holy. God is set apart from us. He's other to us. He stands alone in his holiness compared to the rest of creation. And also, of course, he is pure and perfect in his nature and being as well. So it's a reflection of his nature in the lives of these things in the Old Testament. And these two senses carry over into the New Testament, and particularly with relation to us as believers. Believers are both set apart to be holy. So you're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. He has chosen us. He has set us apart. He has declared us to be a different people to the rest of the world. A people belonging to God, set apart for him. But also we're called to be holy, to the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, and called to be holy. And here in that last verse, in 1 Corinthians 1, 2, there, you see both of these aspects coming together, where we are sanctified in Christ Jesus, and yet we're called to be holy. It's a both and thing. It's a declaration, but it's also a call to be there. So what do we make of that? How do these two things work together? Well, first of all, I want to draw a distinction between justification, which we looked at last time, and sanctification this time. So to be justified is to be put right with God. To be sanctified is to be made holy. So there's a difference. The first is by faith, justification by faith. Romans 5, one famous verse for that, since we are justified by faith, Paul writes. But sanctification is by both faith and works. God both makes us holy, but also walks with us and what we do to make us holy. Justification is instantaneous. You give your life to the Lord. You come to faith in him, and bam, you're justified. You're put right with God through faith in Jesus Christ. Sanctification, on the other hand, takes a lifetime. It's a process. Justification is declared by God. It's nothing that we've done to put us right with God. He declares us innocent. He declares us just before him. Whereas sanctification is something that God calls us to. Justification is imputed. Sanctification is imparted. There's a subtle difference here, and I don't think I'll do justice to this, except the holiness that God imputes to us, it is credited to us. Because of Christ, it's credited to us. The sanctification aspect, the holiness he imparts to us, is increasingly given. Justification, it's either yes or no. You're either in or you're out. Do you know? You're either justified or you're not. With sanctification, you can be more or less. You can be more sanctified or less sanctified than somebody else. So these are the differences between these two words. Now, it's fair to say that some people would disagree with the things I've written there under sanctification. And over the years, there have been various holiness movements, major one rooted in Wesleyan thinking, in John Wesley's thinking as early Methodists. And they believed it was possible to be holy or sanctified, perfect, in this life. And they'll use some Bible verses. So Matthew 5, 48, for instance, Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount says, "Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." And the argument goes, well, it must be possible. Otherwise, why would he say, "Be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect"? Ephesians 4, 13 speaks about the gifts that are given to the body of Christ, that it may be built up. Then it says, "Until we all reach unity of the faith in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And the sense in there is that, yes, it is a process, but yes, actually, it's possible for us all to become mature and to attain to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. May God himself sanctify you through and through, and may you be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, this sense that it's God's work and he will do this, but in this life. Now, the teaching became developed over the years. They spoke of a second blessing, which is not to be confused with a Pentecostal sort of second blessing. But it was a second blessing which saw the Holy Spirit fill your life and gave you the power so that you were able to not willingly sin. Or to willingly not sin probably makes more sense, doesn't it? You could resist temptation and therefore live a holy life. God had forgiven you your sin, so the guilt of your sin had gone through justification, and then he filled you with his Spirit and gave you the power over sin. Well, that teaching, that holiness teaching, holiness in this life teaching, has been largely disparaged now. In its process, it became a bit legalistic, famous for removing all sources of temptation from life, so signing the pledge for alcohol and not smoking and not going to the cinema and not having a TV and not going to the dance halls and things like that. And as I say, largely disparaged now. And so what's more common, and I think what I'm trying to put across here, and what I believe Scripture says, is about this process of sanctification which will take all of our lives to be completed. Even though we're declared to be holy, even though we are declared to be sanctified, it's declared because it's sure that one day, when we get to glory, we will be. It's a future thing that's declared in the present. But the reality is, it takes all our life to achieve it. So here we are. We're declared to be holy. That's our status in Christ. But the reality is, we struggle with sin. Lots of verses for that, aren't there? 1 John 1, verses 8 to 10, if you say you're without sin, you deceive yourself. But God's faithful and just and will forgive you your sin. The Lord's Prayer, lead us not into temptation. Why do we pray that? Because we'll be tempted, and so deliver us from evil. Paul's struggle, Romans chapter 7 and verse 21, you know what he says there, don't you? It's worth reading, I think, Romans 7, verse 21. What then shall we say in response? No, it's Romans 8. 21. I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but the sinful nature a slave to the law of sin. And that's, I think that's our experience, isn't it? You know, we know that God calls us to be holy. We know that he wants us to live this sanctified life, and yet we war within with all sorts of temptations. Paul has lots of lists of sins that we are to crucify or to put to death these things. There's this recognition, isn't there, that we're sinners. That naturally speaking, we're unable to not sin. And yet, God calls us to be holy. And as we'll see, he walks with us through that. We're to strive for sanctification. He wants the reality of our lives to live up to the status that he's given us. He wants to close the gap between our status and our behavior. Sanctification is a lifelong process. And we can't do it. We're not able to do it on our own. And that's why he gives us his Holy Spirit. It's Pentecost today. I'm sure this morning I wasn't here, but you celebrated the gift of the Holy Spirit to believers all over the world for all sorts of reasons, isn't it? You know, the fruit of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, the ability and power to witness to Jesus Christ. But part of that is the fruit of the Spirit to make us more like him. And here's a great verse, really, that sums up how sanctification works. 2 Corinthians 3:18. We who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is Spirit. Our faces are unveiled. We're believers. You know, we've been filled with the light of Christ. We reflect the Lord's glory, and we are being transformed into his likeness, more and more, day by day, as he works with us. So God's doing this work within us, imparting his holiness. But he calls us to do some work too, to live by the Spirit, to keep in step with the Spirit, to work with his promptings and by his strength to live ever more holy lives. So how do we do that? This is where we turn to Scripture. It's Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1. I'll put the words on the screen, but I know they're a bit small. In the first 10 verses. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you've taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Now, from these verses, I think there's two steps in this process of sanctification for us. And the two words, which you don't hear too much in Christian circles today, but which were quite popular a while ago. Firstly, you notice that since you have been raised with Christ, again, Paul is saying, look, you're saved, you're justified, you're holy in the sight of God. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. When he looks down at you from heaven, he sees Jesus Christ. These things are true and are amazing truths, aren't they? And since that is the case, then this is how to live holy lives. And the first of these two words is vivification. There you go. Have you heard that in a sermon before? Vivification. Which means to bring something to life. And here in these verses, it's to bring to life a new attitude of heart and mind. To set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. To set your minds on things above and not on earthly things. You see, this is where sanctification starts. It starts here and it starts here. It starts inside. It starts with our attitudes. It's a choice we make way before we put things into action and do things that we know we shouldn't do. It starts up here. I'm trying to think how to sort of illustrate this. And the best illustration I could think of, might not be perfect, was to say to you that about 3 years ago, we moved house from Coventry Road, where we'd lived for 12 years, to Barford. Now, to get there, I used to leave the church car park, or Sainsbury's as it's sometimes known, and go up to the roundabout. And to get to Coventry Road, I'd take the left fork. Now, I did this for 12 years. It was second nature. I could do it without thinking. The car knew its way home to Coventry Road. But then we moved to Barford. And now, when I come to the roundabout, left's no good. Well, you can, I suppose, if you go roundabout a long way. But that's not the point of the illustration. The illustration is that now we need to go to the right. Need to think, actually. Those first few weeks, I had to think, whoa, don't go left, go right. You don't live there anymore. You live in a new place now. Just see the connection? Before Christ came into my life, I lived over there. Then I came to faith and I moved house, had a new address. I don't live there anymore. I live here now with Christ. My life is hidden with Christ in God. So I must choose, mustn't I? I must choose now to change from going in that direction to going in His direction. So just as it was when moving house, I had to bring to life a new way of thinking. Just as it is in our spiritual lives, we have to bring to life a new way of thinking and to focus on Christ and the way that He wants us to go. And it's not just when we come to faith. It's all through life, because it's so easy, isn't it? And you'll know this, I'm sure, because I know it. It's so easy to tread paths away from Christ and His plans for our life, or His ways and His desires for our life. Whether it's the friends we keep, whether it's the stuff we read or the things we watch, whether it's the habits we form, you know the things that draw you away. And before we know it, these little footpaths become ingrained in our psyche, in the way we do things. And the footpaths become motorways, don't they? And it's hard to get off a motorway. It's hard to turn round on a motorway without, do you know, it's just not easy, is it? You have to travel miles before you can turn round again. And yet we must get off that motorway. We must identify new paths. We must vivify new paths and attitudes and refocus on Christ. So Paul is saying here, look, you must bring these things to life. Vivification, to bring to life new attitudes of heart and mind to follow Christ. So that's vivification. The second thing you'll know, I'm sure, is mortification. To put something to death. And in this case, it's to put to death, as he says in verse 5, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Now it's the actions. Now it's the deeds. Paul's got this list here. Other lists are available. They're all pretty inclusive, really, of everything you can think of that draws us away from Christ and stops us from living a holy and sanctified life. There's the big sins here and the tiny sins here. But don't kid yourself. They're all sinful. They're all as bad as each other. They all miss the mark and are all not what Christ would have us do if we're to live a sanctified life. See what he says? Verse 7, you used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourself of such things as these. And either side of that verse, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, which is idolatry. The other side of that verse, anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language, lying. And these things you must get rid of because you've taken off your old self and put on Christ. I think it's pretty clear, isn't it? And no one's saying it's easy. The motorway, remember the motorway? It's not easy to turn around from these motorways, but it is possible. Mirror, signal, maneuver. I remember that when I learned to drive. Turn off turn round. We have the ability to do that. We have the power to do that. We have the Holy Spirit's strength to do that. We have God's help to do that. And when we do that and follow his ways and focus on him, then we live a more holy life and develop the sanctification that he calls us to. A couple of verses to finish with. No temptation to seize you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. Recognition that we will be tempted, but not beyond what we can bear. And there will be a way out that he gives us. And finally, being confident of this, in this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Father, we do praise and thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that it paints an honest picture of human life, Lord, in all its goriness, Lord. And even though most of us don't indulge in the worst of sins, nevertheless, we acknowledge that we are sinners. And Lord, we do get angry. And Lord, language sometimes does slip from our lips that shouldn't. And if not from our lips, then in our hearts and in our minds. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to bring to life those new pathways that help us to focus on you and to put to death those deeds which deny your image within us. We thank you most of all that you are a holy God, and Lord, in your holiness, you have decided to find a way that we can meet with you and worship you and spend time in your presence, sinners as we are, through the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that our lives are now hidden with him. Lord, that you see him and not us. You see his righteousness and not our sinfulness. We praise you that we are forgiven. We praise you that we are justified. We thank you that we are being sanctified, and that one day we, Lord, will meet you holy and pure. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
So as we bring our time to a close, we're going to finish with a couple of worship songs now. So if the band can please take their places. When these worship songs are finished, feel free to hang around, chat.